cool. Lovely to be here again. Trust you had a great week. Our youth have been up to some exciting stuff this week. They've been at Get Smart Conference, so that's been a fantastic week. They had 4 days. There were international speakers there, and a number of them were really rocked. Another young guy was up in Nelson, one of our young guys, Jack Reedman, and he's got some testimonies to share next week. Actually, next week we're going to have a few testimonies, which is going to be really exciting. I think Lynn's preaching as well, so that's going to be awesome on Hope. Actually, I'll share one of the things. It's cool. At Get Smart, one of the young ladies who went along there, she said to me afterwards, no one preached about this, no one said anything about this, but when I was in worship, I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me that I need to get rid of a whole lot of music that wasn't doing me any good at all. And she had this revelation that what she was listening to was actually really impacting her spirit life, and because it was negative. And so she went home and literally just deleted a heap of stuff off that was just giving her, you know, just influencing her in a wrong way. And it wasn't said from the front. It was just like, hey, I've got this conviction now. And so it's great to hear those stories when the Holy Spirit just goes and speaks and something new is unlocked, a new revelation, a new dimension. So it's just really cool. It's cool being up the front here and looking across and seeing young men up the front worshiping Jesus, you know, and that's really, really spins my wheels. So I love that we've got such an awesome young youth culture, young men culture. Nick Roberts, you're amazing. Your brother Johnny, great to have you in the church. This morning I'm going to be talking about Kingdom Together. And so we've been doing a series on Earth as in Heaven, and I just want to jump back kind of a couple of weeks to what Kevin Forlong was speaking about. Who was here and heard Kevin Forlong speak? Yeah, he spoke on power and process, and how, you know, we love a power encounter, and we love it when God comes into our world and changes our lives and rocks us with just, you know, it's like we get a drop from heaven and something shifts around our life. But he also highlighted the fact that in life we are in process as well. And God takes us through a process of suffering, perseverance, character, hope, and we have this process that he's maturing us through in life as well. So he was saying that, you know, every process leads to a power encounter, or you have a power encounter into an area of process in your life. And so somewhere, you're somewhere in that, lying in there somewhere today, and you're in a place of process, or maybe you've just had a power encounter. And so today I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the process side of things as well. And I just want to open with my favorite Bible story, and it's found in Luke chapter 5 verse 17. I do this with the kids sometimes before bed. We talk about this story and they act out the story, and you'll kind of figure it out as we go. It's a great story. Let's just pray before your Holy Spirit. Just thank you this morning for your word becoming alive to us, God. We just thank you that your word brings life, that you are life, God. And today, God, we just thank you for revelation, Lord, just for new things being dropped into our hearts and spirits today. In your awesome name, amen. All right, so Luke 5:17 says this. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the roof. In the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. That's crazy faith right there, isn't it? That's an amazing picture. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who's this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Isn't that awesome? Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. That's a good summary, isn't it? Yep, We have seen remarkable things. Someone just got healed. Someone was lowered through a roof. I mean, imagine if that started happening right now. I'm preaching here and bits of roof start falling in around me and then suddenly someone's lowered on a mat. It's just like, that is out of the box. It was an amazing thing. So there were four things, a quick recap in this story that I just want to hone in on just in this moment. There was a broken man. There was a man who was sick. There were those willing to carry someone's brokenness to Jesus. Jesus recognized the faith in those carrying the brokenness. And Jesus heals the brokenness. See, there was a group of four guys that answered a simple question that Jesus was asking that day. Who's willing to look beyond themselves to see a community rocked by the love of God? Who is willing? See, they could have just left that guy out the front and nothing would have happened, but they were willing to do something radical. Oh, my iPad just turned off. And it's back on. Yesterday, last night, I took Brie and Aisha out on scooters. I don't know if you, like normal people don't usually do this, but it's quite fun actually in behind our house. And it's really well lit an area and we go for a wee scooter ride up round through there and it's really cool. And they had their scooters and I took Tristan's scooter. And I was woo! And out onto the road. I said, girls, don't do that. Watch me though. I can get off the curb, and I was awesome. I had my beanie on. Yeah, even Lynn uses our kids' scooters, I tell you. It'll get a hold of you. And so I went scootering. Now, Tristan's scooter, he's got this flat spot on his back wheels. Anyone like ride a scooter? And he pulls lots of skids. And so there's this worn part on his back wheel of his scooter. So that's just gone flat. And so when you pedal, you kick, you scoot. Yeah, you're scooting along. And you're scooting along, and it's just like whack, 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 whack. And so I can cope with this. And then I was feeling it in my knees, and then I changed legs, and I was like whack, 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 whack. And I was like, and a couple of minutes in, I felt it in my back, and then all I could feel in my head was like whack, 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 whack. And so we didn't go for a very long scooter, and it wasn't a very comfortable journey. It was really, really uncomfortable. And I just thought, man, it's amazing how that little flat spot on that wheel could make my journey so uncomfortable. It's like, has anyone tried to go on a tramp with a stone in their shoe? You just can't do it. You just can't do it. It's not fun. So there's these small things in life that actually can really affect our journey. And these four guys that day did a lot of small things right to see a really big outcome, didn't they? You know, they took time, they didn't think about themselves, and they took a man to the feet of Jesus. There were a series of small things. And I just want to jump to Matthew 5 right now. If you've got your Bibles, go to Matthew 5. This is the Beatitudes, verse 3. And we've got it up on PowerPoint, I think, as well. But Jesus shows us that prioritizing small things can create an incredible dynamic where heaven's favor can be unlocked and released around our lives. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, through the Beatitudes, Jesus is showing us that there's this undeniable synergy between having a right heart motive and accessing his blessing and releasing it into the world. There's something really, really connected between doing things in the right spirit, looking for God's looking at our inner world. He's looking at that. What did he saw their faith. He saw something in their inner world that released power through himself. There's something really important for us to get a hold of today. And I just want to take one of these Beatitudes, one of these verses today, and open it up just a wee bit. And Deb's going to come and share along the way. As we want to reveal the importance of having a right heart attitude towards others to see his kingdom released around our lives. And hopefully our journey gets a little sweeter along the way. Matthew 5 verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth." Humility doesn't demand, but it isn't spineless either. Humility doesn't give anyone permission to walk over us. And it doesn't require us to trust everyone. But humility considers others before self. You can be humble and bold, but you can't be proud of your humility. The dictionary just simply says about humility, it's a modest view of one's own importance. In Philippians 2 verse 3 it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." See, humility provokes us to look beyond our own world. Humility doesn't really sound that exciting or dynamic, but it carries a heap of punch when you look at the benefits of it. So we're just going to look at the benefits. It says here, "Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth." There's something to be inherited from being humble. You know, our spiritual and physical inheritance is actually a really big deal to us. Because we get this because of those who have gone before us, or those who are connected to, and it literally means that those who have gone before us have got something for us that belongs to us. We've got an inheritance because of our great grandparents, or you can think of right now, you know, it's stored up in the bank. It's like one day that's going to be yours. Yeah, sweet. But there's something that we get to own because of the inheritance we receive. And God's got inheritance for us to receive. It's flowing through you, Lynn, to me. Probably to my kids. Yeah, thank you. A quarter of it. Okay, thanks. In Psalm 37:11, and this is not the only verse in the Bible that says it. It says, "The humble will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." How about that? Investing in humility gives us a great return. Gives us an awesome return. Quiet on the front row. Out the back. But inheriting spiritually is about receiving our portion from our Father in heaven. He's got a portion for us. He's got something for us to access, and it's linked with humility. And I don't know what that could be, something completely different for every single one of us, because we've all got a unique fit, purpose, DNA. It could mean property. Yeah, it could mean promotion. It could mean wisdom. It could mean healing. It could mean whatever he has in store for us to continue his legacy through your life. That is your inheritance. And we don't receive our inheritance for someone that we're not connected to. It will be through someone. I remember, if I've shared this before, but, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I was out praying. God showed me a picture of a printing press. It was like, there it is, Glenn. That's something for you to inherit. There's something there. And it wouldn't get out of my mind. I wrote it down. That was a significant moment. I remember I was crossing the King Street roundabout praying when God said to me, this is all those years later, I was like, "That, I know God spoke this to me." And then about 4 years later, I was meeting with our business mentor, John Robertson, at the time. Amazing man of God who was in our church for about 4 or 5 years and in business. And he said to me one day, he was like, "You know, what are you doing in your business? How about you buy a business? Have you thought about buying a business? I said, no way. I don't want to take a loan out. That is scary. You know, I'd had to take a $10,000 loan for my first piece of equipment, and that was like blew my mind. And then, but he was just really pushed me. He was like, you know, what if you were to buy a business, what would it be? And I was like, well, here's this vision that I had. It was a printing press. So I said, hey, look, if I don't know anything about printing, but I guess if I owned a photocopy shop, that would be a step in the right direction because someone can just press copy and out comes a print. Sweet, I'm printing. And so he rings me up. We've finished the meeting. He rings me up half an hour later and says, hey, Glenn, do you know there's a photocopy shop for sale in Rangiora? Okay. Then he goes the extra mile and says, I'm going to financially back you until you get your loan sorted. And I had to make a decision that, and it had to be done quick because it hadn't sold. They were going to sell off the assets. And he came in, and the inheritance of heaven flowed through him to me. See, we access our inheritance through relationship. And yes, through relationship with God, but he wants to bless you through other people. That connection with John Robertson was essential for the inheritance that I had laid up for me. Awesome, eh? And I believe this is related so closely to humility because I had to walk with John for a while. I had to be real about what I was going through, my weaknesses, my failings, my desire, you know, to be, you know, get out there and have a real go and make it in life. I had to just go, bro, this is, you know, I was humble around him. And because of that humility, I think it was something that God just honored and the need just was met through that posture that I had. And I'm not proud of my humility, but I'm just saying that maybe there was a little bit there. So what do we need to do? First thing on our journey into humility, I think we need to be real. We need to be real about where we are in life right now. Not necessarily with others, although that's going to come up later, but being real. I remember as a young man of God, I wanted to change the world. I remember going, yeah, God wants to use me and I want to do something great and it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to like, and I was praying and I was learning Bible verses on the way. I'd sellotape them to my steering wheel and I'd just like getting into the word. And then God just kept saying this really annoying thing to me. And because what had happened about a year and a half, 2 years earlier is that I'd had the opportunity to have my racing yacht, because I was into sailing and racing yachts, rebuilt and for free. And on the conditions that I would go and race in the Canterbury Champs and then hopefully the New Zealand Champs. And so I was like, sweet, yeah, I'm going to take that opportunity. I was actually really committed to sailing and racing at the time. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So my boat basically he took it in. This guy called Bill, he redecked it, took it down to racing weight, spent hours and hours on it. It was a really beautiful little yacht. And then consequently, I went flatting, had a bit of a bad year, and just totally didn't fulfill my part of the deal. And I didn't race in any of the Canterbury Champs or go to the New Zealand Champs. And so I made a bit of a mess of my life that year. And then I came back and I was like, okay, God, you know, I'm going to, you know, really go for you now. And this was about a year and a half later. And then God just kept saying to me, hey, you need to go and sort out what you stole off that guy. And I thought, I didn't steal anything. No, actually you did. You made a commitment and a covenant with this guy that you would actually race in the Canterbury Champs. You need to sort that out. And so I was like, oh, really? Yes, sort it out. Okay, right. So because I was like, you know, I want to do something great for you, God. And I want to. And he's like, go sort out your mess. And so I had to just go kind of suck it up and go, you know, right, I'm going to do that. And so what I did was I didn't know how much I owed him, but I prayed about it. And God gave me, I think it was around $800 that I needed to go give to him. And so I remember he didn't know I was coming. I found out his address and rocked up to his doorstep one day and gave him $800 and said, hey, I'm really sorry for just messing you around and not fulfilling what I was meant to do. Bye-bye. I have never seen him since. But I knew that I needed to do something to sort out my next step. I needed to sort it out. read this quote yesterday by Gandhi: you must be the change you want to see in the world. You must be the change you want to see in the world. See, God wanted me to put something right that didn't even affect him. It affected someone else. This guy probably didn't even go to church, not like me. I mean, I'm to judge. A few things I learned from that was that I can't keep secrets from God. I was going to have to be humble, admit when I was wrong, and do what I needed to do to make it right. And how I treat others is really, really, really important to God. See, true humility lets go of shame, of hiding away in our brokenness, and embraces our true self. True humility asks us What do we need to be real about? Sometimes we've got to go backwards before we can go forwards. And that was one of those moments. Who did I need to make things right with? Who did I need to say sorry to? Who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to let go of the offense with? Or who do I need to pay money back to? Humility. Second point, true humility says, I need to walk with others. See, it took four guys to bring one paralyzed guy to the feet of Jesus. Three guys could have done it with a struggle. Two guys may have been able to pull it off. One guy was really unlikely unless he had a camel or something like that. But it needed four guys to journey this guy through to the feet of Jesus. See, in kingdom flowed, Jesus said he saw their faith. Kingdom flowed through their collective, the four of them, their faith. And I don't know if it would have happened if there were two there or one there, or maybe Jesus would have done it, but he points out that there was four there and he saw their faith moving together to see this guy brought to the feet of Jesus. They were walking together. There's something about walking together with people in your journey to see his kingdom extended in our lives. That is a good word. And I know that I would not be the person I am today without walking with people in my life. I mean, I've had some amazing encounters with the presence of God, and I've been rocked, and he's healed my insecurities and still healing them. And I know that now I'm not so much of an accident just waiting to happen by his grace. But I remember, just when I look back over my life, I've had relationships and people around me that have been so, so important in being a part of the journey that I've been on in life. I remember, like, I had three guys as a teenager: Cameron Blair, Stephen Silcock, and Alan Matthews. And we would share our life together at different times. We didn't all hang out together, but these were guys that I could be real about, you know, about the breakups, about the heartaches, about the hopes, about the dreams, about the, you know, and we did dumb stuff as well, but we'd go to mountaintops and pray, and we'd talk about, you know, what was in our heart, what was in our future. We would share life together, and those guys saw me through my latter teenage years just because they walked with me, just because I was connected with them. They meant so much to me. I remember as a 20-year-old, I had, like I was saying, I had that year where I was exploring actually Eastern religion because I had a bad boss anyway. That's another story. And I was in this real place of hopeless pain and just like, oh, what am I going to do? And I had some of these guys were helping me as well a little bit, give me a bit of a rack up, but I was just like on my path. And then I went to a youth group dance and I went a bit wasted, and the youth pastor there was Dave McGregor, and he said, hey man, sort it out, what's going wrong with you, what's happening, you know, come and meet with me after church the next day. And I went and met with him, and this man I was honest with, this person, I got in his face and he got in my face, and I was there and we had relationship, and he said, you need to sort your life out. So I did, and I left that flat that day and went home and sorted my life out. I had relationship with him. I was humble with him. I was in need of correction, and he corrected me, and it was because I was connected to him. We need connections. We need to do life with people. We can't do life well by ourselves. We have to have people in our world. Why does it say in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Because he could see at times that one cord would break, that one cord wouldn't be enough, or that two cords wouldn't even be enough, that three cords would not be easily broken because of the bond and the synergy between those relationships. We need people. We need relationship. We need to be talking about the stuff in our hearts. We need to be journeying with people. We need to be going deeper than the hi, how are you, had a good week, what did you do? Yeah, awesome, mate, high five, see you next Sunday. We need to be real about where we are in our lives, and we need to be talking about this stuff. This isn't a Connect Group promotion time, but I just do want to give a shout out for Connect Groups and at least connecting with people and building relationships in that area. Debbie, do you want to just stand up now? Because Deb's got some stuff to share this morning as well, just on her journey regarding this.
Just finished my peppermint. He didn't give me any warning. So I'm just going to share just a few wee stories on that whole topic of journeying with other people. So the first one for me, is probably about 12 years ago. I had a really horrible time of suffering from an anxiety disorder. And at its worst, I wasn't able to do anything much, not able to work, not able to do anything for anyone else. Housework was a bit of a problem as well, so just getting out of bed in the morning was kind of my existence at that time, and I felt pretty useless. In those times, I just felt like there was no hope, wasn't going to get out of it, that was just my lot for the rest of my life. And I wanted to believe that God could get me out of that, because, you know, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I just really wanted to believe it, but I just couldn't see it. And my prayers at that time were just like, God, help. Now, I didn't have the faith to believe or even the hope that it could be better, but I had these amazing people that God put in my world. My parents, Glenn, just a really few close friends. I didn't share it with too many people. And God used these people just to really love on me at that time, but he also used them to believe in me and believe that my future could get better for me. See, I didn't have the faith, but they had the faith for me in those times. And they were able to pray for me and able to support me as well. And Glenn was huge in this time because we were married then. And he would just, like, my brain would try and tell me a whole lot of lies. And Glenn would be there and he would just say, hey, that's not true. This is the truth. And just walk it with me. So that's just one example of a time when, yeah, just I couldn't have got through it without other people. Yes, God was there, but he was using other people to walk with me and believe with me. Also, Glenn mentioned business before, and business has been really exciting, but it's also been really tough at times, and there's been a lot of times where we've been like, what are we doing? God, should we keep doing this? And there'll be times when I'll be doubting that and saying, okay, let's enough is enough, we've given this a good shot. And Glenn will be like, hey, no, God has said, you'll go back to his pictures, the visions that he's had, or other times when God said something. And then there'll be times when Glenn's like, this is really too hard. No, we're not going to do it anymore. And, you know, God will give me the faith then to be able to stand and say, hey, no, God's given me a conviction. We haven't seen what we want to see in this business yet. Let's just keep doing this together. So, you know, God puts us here to be able to stand together, and one of us can have the faith when the other doesn't, and, you know, it often swaps back the other way sometimes too. And something God's been speaking to me about a lot recently is the power of agreement, the power of coming together in prayer, or just saying stuff together and just agreeing together on situations. And it was probably about 3 years ago that God put it on my heart to start meeting together with a few friends, praying specifically for our school. And this time, and our faith has grown over the years, so there's now four of us that meet together, and we try and meet together about once a fortnight, and it's just become such a powerful and amazing time where we just come together in agreement, literally on situations, and declare God's goodness over things, speaking blessings over people, and standing together for our families too. Like Glenn was talking about, the honesty and transparency, this group too has become an amazing place where any one of us can be totally transparent and honest and know that we're still going to be loved and accepted, that everything's going to be okay. And I just feel so blessed to be a part of that. There's a real depth as we come together in this way, as we are able to pray together through situations. Just a real intimacy that happens there. So, it's been an amazing blessing, but we've also seen some really cool results. I just want to share just a few, just as testimonies. So we pray for our kids. We pray for our husbands as well. We've seen, like for us, we've seen cool things happen in business and finances. For all of our kids there, we've seen answers to prayer and health and healing. At school, you know, when there's tough times for our kids with their relationships and friendships, we've seen answers to prayer there. We've seen breakthroughs in learning for some of our kids, just in growing in confidence in their reading and their abilities, and seeing anxiety defeated in kids. We've seen huge miracles for a marriage that was basically over at a really rocky point that's now being restored, and mind-blowing. For two of us, we've seen results in the sale of and purchase of houses where it looked like it just wasn't going to happen. We've just stood and agreed together, and yeah, one's just happening in the last few weeks. It's very cool. And another thing that really excites me is just the opportunity that we have to be able to release His blessing and His goodness over people at school. And this, I mean, for a lot of it, it's not specific people. We're just, declaring God's love over marriages and over relationships with kids, over blessings over families, just health over our school, all sorts of things like that. It's just really exciting. And like Glenn talked about before, just being able to let the kingdom flow through us into other people. We may not see the results now. We may not even have any idea what's happening, but it's just such a privilege to be able to let that flow through us. And then that is flowing on into relationships as well. People that we're praying for specifically at school, we're now building a bit more relationship with them, and we're going to hopefully have the opportunity to pray for one of these people soon. So very cool. Now the Bible says that wherever two or more are gathered together, that He's right there in the middle of us, and that's pretty exciting. It also says that one of us can put 1,000 to flight, but two of us can send 10,000 fleeing. So it's not just that, that it's double the amount what we can achieve when we're with other people. It's exponential. It's pretty exciting. Our prayers are powerful and effective, but there is something incredible about coming into agreement together with someone else over a situation. And we've seen this at work and church as well. The last few months, we've had a few situations where we've sent out prayer emails or prayer texts. Has worked really well as well as a prayer request. And the faith that's been released into those situations and the results that we've seen as we've done that has been so exciting. And as well as that, just the covering that comes around the family that we're agreeing together for. So, yeah, yay God. Now, just a couple of little things. I know as a mum, life is pretty busy, and the idea of, like, for what I talked about, meeting together as a group and trying to make that happen. But let me tell you, sometimes it's like 10 minutes at the most that we pray together, maybe 15. And we've done this. We started out probably when we're meeting together with 8 or 9 kids between us. We're now down to 3 because the rest of them are at school. But it doesn't matter. God sees our heart, and it's just the coming together, it's the relationship, and then it's just standing together. And maybe we don't even have time necessarily to pray for all the needs, but we're carrying them with us during the week, and just as God puts on our heart, we're just praying over those situations. For me, my prayer times over situations could just be a couple of minutes. I might get a text prayer request sent, and it might literally be, if I'm right in the middle of something, it might literally be, okay, God, thank you, I agree with that, release your healing over that situation. That might be all it is, but it's still that coming together in agreement. And like I said, I think God just reminds us of stuff during the week as well, and we just, once again, just agree with that and release it. Now, another area of just that whole coming into agreement and doing relationship in prayer is with our kids. I just think that's just such an important area. There are things that we need answers to, and we'll just ask our kids to stop and pray about it with us. Sometimes, literally in the day, if we hear of a prayer request, we'll just stop what we're doing and we'll just take a minute and pray together. it probably is only about a minute because concentration kind of is not necessarily great for everybody. Sometimes it's driving to school in the car. It's just taking those little moments to just pray together. And it's so important to include the kids in what we're believing for as a family. For them to be able to see these results is just so exciting. But also, maybe there's times when things don't go quite how we like it, but we're there to be able to process that with them, and that's also really important. Now, our kids have been able to pray and celebrate with us over things including baby, healings, provision of finances for a holiday, but we really just needed to get away for a bit, but we didn't have the money to do it, and God just used somebody to just bless us, and they were able to just, you know, join with us and go, yay, God. They prayed with us and believed for the sale of our old house and then the purchase of our new one, the provision of a new car a few years ago, and many other things, and all the little things as well. And yeah, it's just been really cool to be able to do that together.
Cool. Thanks, babe. Yeah. Just in summary, really, I believe that God has got divine connections for everyone in this place. Divine sounds like quite an out there word, but he literally does care about us a heck of a lot, and he doesn't want us to be isolated or just doing life on our own, you know? And sometimes there can be a lot of noise around our life, eh? There's like, life can be noisy and full, but actually you can feel like you're about that thin. And people around us, deep in our journey, they enable and strengthen our walk in life. And so this morning, I'd like us to stand together and really just in agreement that we are going to believe for God for a couple of things. One, that if you're looking for an inherit, you've got a something in your heart where you're like, God, this is beyond my reach. This is beyond me. I can't do this, you know. I read yesterday, a great man of God said, you know, that at first when you pray, things look impossible, then things look unlikely, and then their prayers answered. And that's how God works. He's awesome. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. And so if you're looking for, like, I've got an inheritance I want to see on earth, you know, something now, then I want to stand with you and we'll stand and agree for that divine connection. Now, and the second thing is, if you're looking for people, like, you know, you need to be real and you want to move closer to people just to be in relationship with them, we'll stand for you and believe that God's going to just bring people to mind that you can move towards. Now, also, just practically as well, if you're looking and you're like, I got nothing, God, when I stood up, come and talk with the pastoral team here at the front. We'd love to see you connected, supported in this church, all right? So let's just stand together this morning and agree together that God's got people. Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are in the people business, Lord. You love us, God. You love your kids, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just speak to us this morning about those, Lord, who we can move closer to, Lord. We just release revelation, Lord, today. We declare revelation about those who are feeling lonely this morning or isolated today, God. Show them, Lord. Show them, Lord, who they can move towards, Father. Lord, for those who are looking for an inheritance, God, we just release provision of inheritance, God, to flow in this house, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.